Good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. So this is the first time I meet all of you here, right? Because usually you will notice I'm sitting at the back. But how can you notice I'm sitting at the back? Because when I sing, you will notice I'm there. So as it is the first time I'm here, and it's good that Pastor Stan is not here today. So I want to ask you one question, a simple question. Suppose you don't know Pastor Stan, right? You don't know Pastor Stan. And I want you to tell me, who is Pastor Stan to you? I want you to tell me, who is Pastor Stan to you? So the first thing you will do is what? Go online, right? Check his personal profile, watch his videos of sermons. But do you think that is enough? No, I don't think so. You need to have personal contact with Pastor Stan, maybe spend a few days talking with him. Then you can experience who Pastor Stan is. And then you can come back and tell me who Pastor Stan is. So let's think about the passage that we read this morning. So it was Hannah's experience after she experienced God did something in her life, and he identified who God is to her, and then she acknowledged God in her prayer. So it's Hannah's experience of God, and then she prayed to God who God is to her. So in order we could understand this story of Hannah a bit more, so let us refresh our memory of Hannah. So the events happened about 3,500 years ago in Palestine. There was a certain man called Elkanah. He had two wives. One is Hannah, and the other is Peninnah. So Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So at that time, a married woman without children was shameful. Shameful. Because it was a symbol that she was lacking the blessing of God. It was shameful. If you're married, you don't have children. So Peninnah will make Hannah suffer. And Hannah went to God to pray for a child. And she made a vow that if she got a child, the child will serve God in the temple for all his life. So this prayer happened when Hannah accompanied her baby boy, which later became the famous prophet Samuel, right? And then she prayed this prayer to God. So this morning we will focus on 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So if you have your Bible or any handheld device, you can turn to there. We'll focus on 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. We will learn about God from Hannah's prayer. So we can have that. So the first point is, God is the God who delivers. God is the God who delivers. So verses 1 is like that. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." So this was the opening of Hannah's prayer. So if you turn to chapter 1, verse 28, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 28. Just a verse in front. So it reads like this. "So now I," that means Hannah, "give him," that is Samuel, "to the Lord. for his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. So Hannah was fulfilling her vow, and then she accompanied Samuel to the temple. But we can see that the heart represents the entire inner being. The heart represents the entire inner being. So that means Hannah did not only rejoice externally, it was from her inner being. But how could it happen? Do you see those words highlighted in white? It was in the Lord, right? Her rejoice was in the Lord. And also the horn represents the strength, is also what? Lifted high, is also in the Lord. That means for Hannah, the rejoice and the strength, they came from the Lord. But if we take a close look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 7, I think it's show on the next one. Oh, I forgot to turn. Sorry. You don't have to turn. I forgot. So it reads like this. This went on year after year. What went on year after year? Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival, that means Peninnah, provoked her till she wept and would not eat. So, did Hannah suffer just 1 or 2 days? No. It was year after year. For how long, we don't know. It's at least for a period of time. And also, do you think Hannah just prayed once? Did Hannah just pray once? So look at here. This is Hannah's prayer. It's chapter 1, verse 11. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. So if you pay attention to the word only look on and also remember, so it indicates that Hannah is, of course, she's praying more than once. It's not just she prayed overnight and then God answered her prayer. So if you look at verse 12, in the NIV, as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. But in the other versions, like King James, there's a phrase there, now it came about. And also in New American Standard Bible, and it came to pass. So the author was telling us there's a time factor over there. There's a time factor. Eli happened to be there to listen, to look on Hannah's prayer. And God used Eli to bless Hannah. So you see that Hannah had been suffering year after year, right? And Hannah did not pray just once. Of course, she had been praying. And then God's deliverance came in his time. So God's deliverance was what? Give her the baby boy, Samuel, so that she was not shameful anymore. So God's deliverance came after her suffering, her prayer, and also in God's timing. So I have experienced God's deliverance after a long period of suffering. So it happened in Hong Kong. When I was in my last year of high school, So that equivalent to grade 11 here in Canada. So it was in the middle of a normal September morning class. The school principal so hurried in and told me I have to go to the hospital immediately. I have to go to the hospital immediately because something happened to my father. When I arrived at the hospital, the doctor told me, your father's brain is dead. Your father's brain is dead. There was nothing we could do. So this is what happened. So my dad went out early for his usual morning walk and exercise. So he did it many, many years. Suddenly, and nobody knew what happened, he was struck down by a bus. Nobody knows what happened. So the accident caused a deep pain in all of our family members. So at that time, my dad was a Christian. I was very, very angry with God because he allowed this accident to happen to his believer. I was angry. God, how can you allow this accident to happen? And I will ask God, God, could you give me an answer? Why? Why this happened? There was no answer. There was no answer at that time. However, God delivered me progressively over a long period of time. Now, I understand that, number one, my father was a Christian. He had the assurance of salvation. And number two, God carried me through that period of sorrow. And number three, my dad used to tell me I did not have any serious sickness. So my dad said he did not have any serious sickness, not even a decayed tooth, right? And God gave him that. He did not to suffer at all. And number four, that sudden separation was a tragedy from our point of view. But it was this accident that pushed me to study hard to pass the examination for grade 11. Passing that examination so that I can continue grade 12, grade 13. It was at that time that I met Rosanna, which is my wife now. And shortly afterwards, I got trained as a dental technician. And eventually, we immigrated to Canada. You know what? At that time, when we apply for immigration, my profession as a dental technician gave me a full score, which strengthened my application. So it was all God's plan, God's timing. I don't know whether you are now suffering in any way. But do not forget, no matter what difficulties you are in, God is the God who delivers you. God is the God who delivers you. So the second point will be, God is the God who protects. God is the God who protects. So verse 2 reads like this. There's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one besides you. There's no rock like our God. So if we check Hannah's husband, so in chapter 1, verse 5, it's talking about Hannah's husband. But to Hannah, he, that is Hannah's husband, Elkanah, gave a double portion. That double portion is the meat for sacrifice. Because he loved her. That means Elkanah, Hannah's husband, loved Hannah. And the Lord had closed her womb. So Elkanah tried to give material supply to Hannah so that she could be more happy or more not so downhearted. And also in verse 8, so Hannah, her husband, would say to her, "And Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Look at this. Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" So he was giving emotional support to Hannah, right? So we have a very good husband that loved her, give her material support, give her emotional support. So that's not bad at all. But don't forget, Hannah was suffering under Peninnah. So just imagine if you were a Hannah. You have a husband that loves you, an enemy that make you suffer, and you did not have children. The husband loves you, the enemy make you suffer, you did not have children. So what would you do? So I believe there's at least three ways Hannah could do. So number one is very natural. She could complain to her husband, "It's all your fault that I don't have children," right? She could complain, "It's all your fault I don't have children." So Hannah did not. So number two, Hannah could fight with her enemy, her rival. So we have seen this. Remember the father of Israel, Jacob? Remember Jacob has two wives, right? He had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah, two wives. They were what? They were sisters. And they were fighting for one husband, right? They were fighting for one husband. So that family was, in fact, not very happy at all. So Hannah did not fight with Peninnah. So the third way is maybe Hannah could give her a slave girl to her husband to bear a child for her. So when did we see this before? Remember Abraham, Sarah, right? Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham, right? She gave the slave girl Hagar to Abraham. Of course, Hagar got pregnant, and then she looked down on Sarah, right? Hannah got pregnant, looked down on Sarah. But Sarah complained to Abraham, "You make me suffer," right? "You make me suffer." So Hannah did not do that too. What did Hannah do? Hannah went to God to pray, because she knew there's what? There's no one like God, no one beside God, and there's no rock like God. Hannah knew the correct way to express what she was downhearted within herself. So there's another event about my experience of God's protection. It happened 34 years ago, and also in Hong Kong. So it was sunny December morning. I said goodbye to my wife, Rosanna, and we were expecting a normal work day for both of us. However, the normal day became a disaster when I returned home after work. I was told to go to the hospital as soon as possible because something happened to Rosanna. Does it sound familiar? Remember what happened with my dad? And I thought, what? How could anything have happened? She was perfectly okay this morning. So, brothers and sisters, you guess what happened? On her way home from work, Rosanna was badly hit by a car. She was badly hit by a car. And we later found out the car was driven by an off-duty police officer. And the car was so old that the brake and horn was just not working at the time the accident happened. That means he could not make any indication or any effort to stop or horn. No, it did not work at that time. Another traffic accident. Yes, another traffic accident. So at that time, I thought, 8 years ago, I lost my father, my dad. So what would happen this time? So at that time, I really don't know. It was God's protection that allowed Rosanna to survive. That's why she's still here today. But I can still remember how Rosanna looked when I arrived at her hospital. Her face was totally distorted from the morning when I said goodbye to her. So Rosanna suffered a lost brain, broken backbones, fractured legs, and had a concussion for 3 months. It took almost 2 years, for Rosanna to slowly get back to normal life. 2 years. You know what? When she was still in hospital, she had to be bound in the bed. She had to be bound there because she kept on struggling to wake up. She struggled to wake up. She had to be bound there. And there were many nights I have to stay overnight in the hospital, wandering around, and still had to work the next morning. I was just walking around. I don't know what to do. So, brothers and sisters, can you imagine how I could have endured this second accident to my dear loved ones? How could we get over that period of time? I do not think we can do it by ourselves. It was God's protection for our family. God is the God who protects. God is the God who protects. So the last point is verse 3. God is the God who judges. God is the God who judges. So do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. So in the first part of this verse, we can see that Hannah is expressing how Peninnah was treating her, like talking so proudly, the mouth speak with such arrogance, right? But don't forget the second part. The Lord is the God who knows, who knows everything. And by him deeds are weighed. God will judge us. God will judge us. So there's a Bible verse that is very, very valuable to all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before what? The judgment seat of Christ. There's a day of judgment. And then read on. That each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. And pay attention, whether good or bad. That means anything that we do now, God knows and will what? And will judge. And will judge. So you know what governs the things that we do? So the things I do. So what you and I do in our action is governed by what rules within our hearts, right? What rules within our heart, and then I will do in action. In the book of Judges, just the two books before 1 Samuel, it reads, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. So this was before 1 Samuel. Okay, at that time, Israel did not have a political king. Yeah, they did not have king at that time. But the most important thing is the king that should be in their hearts. The king that should be in their hearts, the one that brought them out from Egypt, from the land of slavery, was not there. The king that should be in their heart was not there. So what happened? Everyone did as he saw fit. Right? So you just do according to what you like. So you and I have to be a person of integrity. Practice what we believe 24/7, not only on Sundays when we meet each other. So are we having the same problem today? Have you and I put things as king of our lives, put other things as king of our lives? So we'll hunger and crave for what? Up-to-date information, like you check the Olympic Games, going online, getting connected to our social group of people. But what about your connection with God? What about your connection with God? I know lots of people, including myself, will download and install the scriptures in our phones, in our tablets, in our laptops. But did you store it in your, what, memory? Did you store God's word in your memory? You don't have to memorize it word for word. It's difficult to memorize word for word sometimes. But at least you remember the meaning, like that verse which is 2 Corinthians 5:10, you remember the meaning, and even better, you locate that passage in the Bible. You locate that passage, you can share with somebody else. So you and I better pay attention to how we behave. Because what? God is the God who judges. So let me close with the words of Christ that he spoke to his disciples. It was in, it was in John chapter 14, verse 20. I believe I leave it so that, could you turn to that? John chapter 14, verse 20. John 14, verse 20. So Jesus said, John 14, verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. See, Jesus told us that he is in what? In us. And we are in Jesus. And Jesus is in the Father. Do you see this intimate union with God? We have this intimate union with God. So if this morning you did not believe in Jesus Christ yet, you don't know who God is to you, at least you learn that God is a God who delivers, protects, and judges. So if you want to learn about more of the God that we believe, so after the service, you can talk with the brothers and sisters, or you can talk with me. And with this intimate union, you and I are always in the Lord, regardless of external circumstances. And we can experience the God is the God who delivers, protects, and judges. In fact, we can experience even more. We can experience even more. Because our God is an infinite God. Our God is an infinite God. We call those scriptures and those songs that we sing this morning, our God is an infinite God. So let us have a prayer before we close. Let us bow down our head to pray. Dear God, thank you that you know each one of us. Not only you deliver us, protect us, and judge us, there are uncountable experiences we can discover because you are an infinite God. Please help us to assure our intimate relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.